Well, just days out from the men's FIFA World Cup, and politics again threatens to overshadow the competition. Iran has accused the US of denying visas to support staff it calls integral ahead of opening fixtures in LA. Hours earlier, US officials confirmed Iranian players could enter the country while warning it wouldn't allow the team to, quote, abuse the system to sneak terrorists into the US under false pretenses. Matt Slater is a senior news reporter for The Athletic who covers the business side of football. I spoke to Matt a short time ago. Is this World Cup affected by global politics unlike any other?
Yeah, it certainly seems that way, doesn't it? I mean, there's unique, strange, odd situation with Iran. I mean, you know, we've had World Cups where geopolitics has sort of been a shadow, and we've certainly had World Cups where teams, you know, that have history have played each other and rivalries. I mean, that's sport. But I can't think of a World Cup. I can't think of, you know, a major sort of sporting event where one of the hosts has been at war with one of the participants.
Iran is accusing the US of violating its obligations as a football World Cup host by refusing visas for some of its delegation, not the players. Is this normal at a World Cup? Have we seen this before?
No, it's not usual. You know, it's pretty standard now when you host a World Cup, an Olympics. This is sport, right? This is the sort of an old-fashioned concept of like, what kind of this is a truce, right? And as a host nation responsibility is, yeah, of course, that the team, the coaches, support staff should be absolutely fine. And we've had a bit of a dance over the last few months. You know, would they, wouldn't they? Trump has appeared to sort of say one thing and then kind of back down and then go, oh, of course they can come, you know. And here we are, push comes to shove, and there's been a very sort of unusual situation for Iran. They've been training in Iran. They're going to be based in Mexico. They're basically going to have to sort of leave immediately after the games. We've seen sort of comments around, well, you know, we can't let them have this excuse to bring a load of terrorists in. Well, you know, that's not particularly welcoming, is it? And I know that Iranian journalists are finding it very difficult to get there. Certainly there'll be no Iranian fans from Iran, but I don't think we should be shocked by that. But like I said, because they're at war, there's going to be a load of Iranians there, but these are US-based anti-regime Iranians. And I think that is going to be one of the stories of the group stage, frankly.
What role might US Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, play during the World Cup?
Well, again, this is one of the sort of unknowns, and it's been one of the big stories of the last few weeks, last few months. I know there are many, I've been in calls with them, I've been talking to them for the last few weeks, human rights groups based in the States who are very, very worried about this, very worried. I'll give you an example. The SoFi Stadium in Inglewood in Los Angeles, they've actually just voted to go on strike. Now, some of it is this long-running dispute over pay and conditions. But one of the key things is the workers at SoFi saying, we don't want ICE here. We don't want ICE policing the stadium. You know, our co-workers who come from Latino immigrant communities, they're frightened to come to work. They're frightened of what might happen, and we don't want that. So, and I think this is going to be a flashpoint. It's going to be a flashpoint, I think, in Texas and Florida, and we shall see. But I suspect FIFA has been pushing hard for the US authorities to back off. I mean, they're talking about, like, will there be an ICE truce? I don't really want people handcuffed and being dragged out of crowds, and it would just look awful.
Is this going to be one of the most expensive sporting events ever held, with the ticket prices for people to go to this World Cup?
Yes, there is a short answer there. I mean, look, they're still going to be one off. So, for example, right now it's the NBA Finals, and New York are two games up, and they're about to go back to Madison Square Garden for Game 3. New York Knicks have not won, they've been to a final for like 27, the best part of 30 years. So the demand is off the charts. And there's always a story about Super Bowl tickets. So if we're talking about kind of one-off events, no. But if we're talking about an entire tournament, I've never seen anything like this. You know, the ticket prices are incredible. And there's a few things to say there. One, they were charged, you know, the face value of them is really high, way higher than the bid book. So when the US, Canada, Mexico were bidding for this back in 2018, this is way, way above what they predicted. It's way more than Qatar charged, way more than we saw at the Euros in Germany. You know, this is the most expensive World Cup by a margin. And that's before I even start talking about parking, transport to and from stadiums, hotels, flights. America's an expensive place. You know, there's been quite considerable inflation there. America's a very wealthy country, but it's just expensive. And then I think I would add FIFA's decision to go with dynamic pricing. So that's just the way that kind of Uber and air flights work. And that was controversial. They didn't need to do that. That's a conscious decision on FIFA's part. They clearly decided, you know what? We don't get to come to the States that often. We are going to – here's a market that has a willingness to pay top dollar for tickets. We're going to absolutely max out on that. We're gonna make a fortune on ticketing because this is a market that can bear it, that can tolerate the prices.